Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Curran yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. Ted Johnson joining WEEI Afternoons starting on Tuesday after MLK Day.
That's right.
Will your fridge etiquette change at all, knowing that Ted could be keeping stuff in that fridge?
Well, if I see like a gallon of creatine, I'm going to assume that it's perhaps Ted's and I'll stay away from it.
If I see...
Yeah.
A Tupperware full of
ground turkey and rice.
I see all the stuff from GNC like work its way in, I would probably avoid that.
If I see just a Tupperware full of boiled chicken, I'm going to go, ugh.
A dozen hard-boiled eggs. Even if they're not labeled, I'll stay away from them.
Yeah, don't go near
yeah,
those.
Ted can't have
that's them. Ted's stuff. Yeah. Ted should just get his own fridge, really, is what he should get.
Would it surprise you if he brought one in? And like, hey guys, I need to snack a lot during the show.
Yeah, Billy, is that what it was? That is because we've all worked with Ted in the past.
Yeah,
is that what he would eat? Like the same thing, right?
It was yeah,
like,
so it was some kind of ground meat. I don't know what it was. If it was beef, turkey, or chicken, but it was that and rice.
Human. Who knows? Could be anything.
I don't think I'm physically capable of being that muscular, but
no, you're not.
If you knew the trade-off for that. But
was eating
could,
every hour on the hour,
and you just couldn't
consume,
and you just couldn't enjoy it. There's no enjoyment to food. I don't even know how much I enjoy it anyway. But there's no enjoyment to the food. Could you do that?
Like
no,
he sees it as just fuel.
He has to
like
feed.
No, he doesn't enjoy it. It's just fuel.
No, you don't eat. Yeah, you fuel up or you feed. Like there's no.
It's his fuel, and he has to feed.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Like those days, like those 2 days a year that I'm on the beach, it'd be pretty sweet. It'd come in handy. Like, look at this guy.
Yeah.
That 363 other days.
This guy's built like Jalen Milroe.
It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, I don't need it for that. I don't go to the beach enough for it, quite frankly.
He looks like he's in better shape now. He's like one of these guys. Because it's funny, athletes go in like two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just kind of balloon. Like, I'm not working out every day. I'm done.
Yeah.
Or they look like they're in...
Built like a brick house.
They could be like that.
They could be.
Or they like get even like in better shape.
Yeah.
His face is muscular, more muscular than I am.
That's right.
Ted did text... Ted. Ken texted, by the way.
Ted didn't text you.
No. If Ted texted, I'd actually be very nervous. Ken texted.
Was he one? No.
He said, I'll work on the pizza party. He said, we may need Ted Johnson to moderate and serve the pizza.
That'd be good.
Yeah, you're not
Can you put him in like a little referee shirt?
Just the intimidating press. Yeah, his sleeves are cut off.
Oh, yeah, like Ken Shamrock doing one of those.
Cauliflower crust. Don't give me any healthy pizza.
Yeah, that's a good point. Regular pizza might not fly with Ted.
No, it's a good point.
Yeah.
That is true.
Unless you're not
I would like to see Ted versus a plain cheese pizza.
Yeah. Well, it's just you're not gonna mouth off to Ted, so I think it's going to be a very controlled
that makes sense.
Pizza party.
Yep.
But that was Curran yesterday on WEEI Afternoons, and we get texts. Jones. The way you interpret information baffles me,
it's a good line.
That's fair. I mean, that's good. How does my brain work? I have no idea. How in the world are you saying McDaniels is getting the OC job? I mean, how do you not think
who else is
he's the heavy
point.
Favorite? I don't want that.
Yeah.
I hope to God somebody else gets the job. But how do you not think, based on the way all these beat writers are talking about it, Terp was showing me numbers that he's the favorite. It's plus money. But he's the favorite to get the job on some of these betting apps. So,
well, I'd ask anybody else, like, who do you think is getting it? And then I'd love to hear who that candidate is.
Who do you even
is,
think the second most popular candidate, who's the name that even is giving him a run for his money? Who even is that? Like, we both said Dave Ragone. We like Dave Ragone.
Tim Kelly?
You like Tanner Engstrand. Tim Kelly. Nick Cayley.
Jim Kelly.
Like, who even,
Tim Kelly.
Who even is the other person who could get it? It would have been Tommy Rees. Tommy Rees was the one that made sense. The Browns kept him. So I don't even know who the real rival for it is. There's a bunch of guys I personally would hire over Josh McDaniels. But who's the other real candidate? You don't even hear that. Curran didn't even bring up the name.
No.
Schefter didn't even bring up
the
name.
No, I know. They didn't bring up any other names.
People don't even have another name to bring up that's a real candidate.
No, I would now pick, not me pick, but I would predict McDaniels
over the field.
Versus the field. Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, so Tim Kelly was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, Mike Vrabel's last year. Certainly not a banner offense, but, you know, they didn't have A.J. Brown, and the quarterback situation was what it was. And he is currently the tight ends coach with the Giants, meaning it wouldn't be a lateral move at all. It's not like you're plucking another OC just to be an OC. Like, you could, he has familiarity with him. Who knows? I don't know if he likes him, dislikes him, has, you know, we don't really know. That's been a name that's been speculated if you're just trying to connect the dots. It doesn't mean it has to be somebody that you've worked with before either.
No.
It doesn't have to be, you know, but I still, it just feels like it's going, pushing towards Josh McDaniels.
Another name we brought up is Josh McCown. I think he's interviewing the Jets today for their head coaching job, I believe.
Okay.
I thought I saw that earlier today. Not
well, the Jets were interviewing like 20 people.
They have a long list. They certainly do.
Could be him.
Where did I see that today? Let me just fact check myself on that. I believe he's interviewing with the Jets today, or he concluded an interview, something like that. But Josh McCown to me would be an interesting name. It's Jordan Schultz said okay. McCown will open interview for their open head coaching position today.
It's been pretty crickets on the Patriots front, which is surprising because even though it was a sham interview for the head coach, they kind of lined that up pretty quick, right? They only interviewed four people. They only seriously interviewed one, mm-hmm. but they lined it up. Actually, I don't even know if they seriously interviewed him. I think he already had the job before that process, but we got the names. We got the graphics. We made fun of one of them, and then we kind of moved on. Then they're like, all right, we got the guy. We already told you the guy's going to be able to pick his coaching staff. And we're waiting.
Yeah.
We're in like a holding pattern. It's and odd. Not even any announcements.
It's odd.
Because even last year, remember we started to get all the names of all the offensive coordinators. And yeah. We're like, this guy, that guy, this guy.
So many names.
There's a ton of names. No head coaches because Gerard Mayo was handed the job. Everybody else, it was 12, 13 guys. And it was funny because if you remember a year ago, it was, all right, so-and-so might get a second interview. And then they just interviewed this guy. And then it was like one day, Alex Van Pelt's the guy. We're like, what? And you're like, yeah, everybody else, clearly there was an issue.
Well, Kaylee said no. And yep. Zach Robinson went to the Falcons. And Kubiak went to the Saints. And yeah.
Waldron.
Nobody took your job.
Luke Getsy.
And so you had to go to Alex Van Pelt. One other thing to bring up. Greg Bedard had a clip about McDaniels as well that I listened to. And it's the second time I've now heard this. Because one of my stances on McDaniels and why I don't want him, I don't think anybody else would hire him. Bedard brought up Detroit, too. Phil brought up Detroit to me. Bedard brought up Detroit as a potential fit for Josh McDaniels.
If
Ben Johnson takes a head coaching job elsewhere. Could you imagine? Look, those guys are more plugged in than me. They talk to people.
Yes.
But would the Lions really go back? They flamed out with Patricia. I know Josh McDaniels is a different person. But he's a failed head coach. Would they really go back to the Bill Belichick coaching tree based on the Patricia experience? Maybe. That's what Bedard and Phil are telling me, but I wouldn't feel good about that if I were the Lions.
No, I don't really understand that connection either, but you're right. Multiple people have said it. And
do me a favor. Just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the process.
Especially because speaking of Patricia, like Ben Johnson was on the Matt Patricia staff.
Good point. Yeah, yeah. He effectively promoted Ben Johnson from the
Dolphins. He was in Miami first, and then he was there. But didn't they learn a pretty valuable lesson about promoting a guy in-house? Like, Ben Johnson was with the Lions for 3 years before he became, or 4 years even, I think, before he became the offensive coordinator. Maybe it was in his fourth year. But so they just promoted him in-house. So, like, wouldn't you want to keep as much consistency as possible? And, you know, Tanner Engstrom's a guy I like because I feel like he'd be the next in line.
Yeah,
there.
I would promote from within. I wouldn't want to change offenses and things like so. That, but it's the second time I've heard it.
Yeah, all right. Something.
Dubs 985, fair point in the Twitch chat. Just because nobody would hire him shouldn't be the reason not to hire him. I guess not. It speaks to he's not a sought-after candidate. That's what it speaks to. That doesn't necessarily make him the wrong hire. You're right about that. But it speaks to
how about this?
Him not being a highly sought-after hot candidate.
It means maybe he's not the right guy for the job, but you also don't need to rush to hire him, meaning you can take your time to interview these guys, some of these guys that are still on playoff teams, like really do a full search and make sure you don't settle.
And it's my counter to, if no one else would hire him, it's my counter to, oh, he's such a good offensive coordinator. Anybody would hire him. Really?
Well, no, I don't know about that.
I don't think he has an interview. So, like, what's the rush?
No, I don't. There's no rush.
The guy was out of football last year. And he was out of football for half the year before that. And I'm told he's this great candidate. Like, where are his interviews? maybe he'll get a job and I'll be wrong about this, but that is a strike against him. It's not the reason not to hire him. Fair. There's a lot of reasons not to hire Josh McDaniels, but that is on my list. And I think it tells you that not a lot of people want to, you know, hire him and think he's a viable candidate.
No, but what's also strange is people around the league are suggesting, oh, maybe he goes to Detroit. Well, what about all the openings right now? How come he hasn't interviewed for any of those openings right now? Now, maybe some of it is teams right now.
A lot of those teams don't even have head coaches.
Yeah, so yeah. Maybe that's your answer. But
guys, people are interviewing for coordinators' jobs. I mean, that's happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Let's go to Corey in the car waiting patiently. Go ahead, Corey.
I just wanted to talk about the Brady versus Mahomes thing. And to preface this, I am not a Pats fan, so this is kind of impartial. But the thing that drives me crazy about all these great conversations, none of them ever played each other. Brady never played Montana. Jordan never played LeBron. Mahomes played Brady twice in the playoffs, and he's 0-2. You know, or I'm sorry, Mahomes is 0-2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could argue if there's a 10-year difference, you know, where Mahomes is older or Brady's younger, he's just Peyton Manning. He's just great during the regular season, can't get past Brady. And the evidence shows, you know, it is what it is. It drives me crazy.
Okay, so that's fair. I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, that the head-to-head helps.
Brady 2-0 against Mahomes. You know who had a winning record against Brady in the playoffs?
Yeah, eventually, right?
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, not at first, but then he did.
So something tells me Patriots fans don't want to hear that. So put all the stock you want in that. But Peyton Manning head-to-head with Tom Brady in the postseason, 3-2. Mahomes 0-2 head-to-head with Tom Brady. So if you want to play that game, let's play that game.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's play it with Brady and Manning. And I wouldn't take Manning over Brady. I'm not insane. But that's what those numbers would tell you to do if that's what we're basing it on. That's what the caller wants to base it on.
Yeah.
I love Andy Hart has a great take where those two games, okay, the AFC title game, Patriots and Chiefs, and then the Super Bowl, Chiefs and Bucks, those two games are the difference already. Like, they've completely swung Brady versus Mahomes. If Mahomes wins both those games, Brady already isn't considered the greatest of all time. Mahomes already is.
It's
crazy. If they split, it's much more of a debate.
Yeah.
Those two games are the only reason that Brady is still considered the greatest of all time.
No, right. Brady has himself literally to thank for him still being the GOAT, like the true GOAT, and it's going to take a little while now because, you know, those were two opportunities that Mahomes had. Those are two really good teams. That's just one Super Bowl loss. That was another team that easily could have won, not easily, but I think would have won the Super Bowl had they advanced in 18. They probably would have beaten the Rams. So you're right. That is a big swing right there. But no, I think when it's all said and done, there's going to be a million things. We're going to look at record. We're going to look at MVPs. We're going to look at touchdowns. We're going to look at number of Super Bowls. If there was a three-peat, head-to-head, like, it'll all be included.
Here's one thing we should agree on. If anybody says, why is Brady the GOAT, what's their answer?
Why is he the GOAT? Super Bowls, I guess?
The rings.
Yeah, 7 Super Bowls.
Right, that's what Patriots fans currently say.
Yeah.
So if Mahomes ever ties or passes him, they're going to have to move the goalposts. Because, like, right now, the go-to thing
is... Well, if he wins 8, I don't think anybody's going to say anything. Well, I don't know what people are going
to
say.
Patriots fans will probably be hanging on to exactly what the caller just said. Well, Brady beat him twice head-to-head.
All right, well, that'll be...
You know, there'll be Steelers fans screaming about Bradshaw, Niners fans screaming about Montana. So all I'm saying is, you know, we can come up with a million things to your point, and we probably will, and there's more to it than just the rings.
Right.
But that's the main retort we hear now. If Mahomes ever catches him, or if Mahomes ever passes him, then look out. And I, by the way, I'm not sure he needs to. I'm not sure he needs to catch Brady to be considered the greatest of all time. Like, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Does LeBron have 4? LeBron has 4, right?
Yeah.
LeBron Jordan is a debate.
Not for me.
Okay, not for you. But to me, that is a debate. I'm on the Jordan side, too.
Yeah.
But if LeBron wins another and it's 6-5, I might give it to LeBron.
Do you count the bubble one?
Yes.
Yeah, not a title.
We all would count it if the Celtics won it.
They played a literally Mickey Mouse building. There was no home road.
Put an asterisk on it. That's fine.
I just took it away.
Okay, put an asterisk on it. I'm okay with that. Don't take it away.
It's gone.
Tim Duncan won a lockout shortened year. Does that have an asterisk?
A little bit different. Home crowd, travel schedule, the whole thing.
Shorter season? Does it have an asterisk or no?
That one does not.
You take one away from Duncan?
I didn't notice one there, no. I was checking to look at my numbers.
Very interesting. I give LeBron that one. I'm still with Jordan.
Well, I'll give you this.
But I'm saying I don't think LeBron needs to win 6 to catch Jordan. And I'm not sure, depending on how it plays out, Mahomes needs to win 7 to catch Brady.
Do you think LeBron's winning another one?
I don't.
So I don't think – I'm with you on Mahomes. Like, if it's all said and done, and say he even, like, doubles up his regular season MVPs. Like, I look at all this crap, like, all pros and, like, stuff like that, and he's one Super Bowl short. but maybe there's a three-peat in there. Like, if they win it this year, that's something that also is sort of a distinction. If there happens to be an undefeated season, like, all that stuff is a little bit of a distinction. I do wonder, like, will he win – this is getting way ahead of ourselves, but does he win all of his Super Bowls with Andy Reid? Or does he
win one
with somebody else?
Good call. You know, because Brady did.
Yeah, and that was like, holy smokes, because at that point, Belichick was getting maybe as much credit, and then as soon as you saw him win with Bruce Arians on the Tampa Bay Bucks, you're like, holy mackerel.
That's a good point. Text line, good point. LeBron also won the NBA Cup. Jordan never won that.
Damn it.
Add that.
Damn it.
Add that to LeBron's legacy. Let me give you another one for Mahomes.
LeBron time.
Yep.
What if Mahomes wins six and he walks away at 33?
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, Brady gets a lot of credit for winning into his 40s.
It'll be scoreboard 7-6.
That's what I'm saying, but like, that would be an interesting debate. Mahomes walks away early. Could he have won more? We'll never know. Brady gets a lot of credit for playing deep into his 40s and playing at a high level deep into his 40s. So that to me would be, there'd be nuance there and debate there. All I'm saying is, the rings settle a lot of debates.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mahomes needs to catch him necessarily to be considered the greatest of all time. He does need to win more than three, and he would need to win more than four. Will anything change personnel-wise in terms of their approach this offseason if McDaniels is the offensive coordinator, Keith? Like,
fullback's back. Already talked about that a little bit,
right? Well, that's kind of what I wonder. Yeah. Is the fullback here, is it more two tight ends? And does that change?
Yeah, it could be.
I wonder about stuff like this, and is that the right direction for an offense in 2025? Like, fullbacks and two tight ends. Is that what I want?
I guess it depends on who your tight ends are. Like, if your tight end, Hunter I know Henry, you're not getting Brock Bowers, but I'm
Hunter
saying
like, Henry and someone else.
Yeah.
It's not going to be.
No, it's not.
Hooper.
It's not.
I mean, or Hooper would be your third. I don't think you want to go two tight ends and run that personnel all day long.
But the one thing, and you know me, I would go five wide receivers and throw it every play, so I'm not the right guy to ask. But the two tight end thing, right now, how many wide receivers on the current roster do you feel good about playing? Not many.
Maybe zero?
Yeah, maybe zero.
Yeah.
So even if you get one in a trade and sign one in a free agency, now you still only have two that you really like. So two tight ends allows you to really focus on those two wide receivers. You throw a back there. I mean,
but the Chiefs run two tight ends a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Noah Chiefs Gray and Travis Kelce.
Chiefs do?
I mean,
this isn't the Chiefs stereotypical offense, I mean, but they do it.
Ravens will do it a lot.
Yeah.
Bills will do it a lot. So maybe I'm coming at it the wrong way.
Yeah,
how much does Detroit do it? Detroit does an extra lineman all the time.
Well, they got Laporta. I don't know about the other guy.
I feel like they don't run a ton of two tight end. I could be wrong about that. Yeah. Somebody fact check me. But I think they bring in an extra offensive lineman. That's what they do.
They throw to their lineman all the time. Yeah.
But you know what? Well, that's true. Bills, Ravens, Chiefs do run a lot of two tight ends.
Yeah, so you could do it.
So maybe it's not as outdated as I want to make it seem.
Yeah.
But I would also think of that. Not just McDaniels and how he compares to other offensive coordinators, but the offense that he runs, the personnel they got to get for it, that is going to be different. And that's another pivot for Drake May, too. It's not just relearning the offense and the language in the offense, which is one thing. I think it's overstated, but it's something to consider. Now you're changing up personnel and what best suits Drake May. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Rick and Natick. Hello, Rick.
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Good.
Yeah, Rich, big fan.
Thanks.
Love you back at 10 o'clock. And I'm 100% on your side over the whole beverage gate. I work in a place that shares refrigerator. She's got to get her act together.
Agreed.
Anyway,
thank you, Rick.
So I want to talk defensive coordinator. Everybody's talking offense. I personally think offense is Josh McDaniel. Makes sense. He's not going to be a head coach. He's going to be here a while. And Jones, you know, fullback, you can put you as a fullback. It's about the alignment of the offense. Put an offensive lineman in there, a tight end. You don't really need a traditional fullback.
No. I would be like a
Jones would get blown off.
I would have to be like a Larry Centers type.
It'd be a disaster.
Not a lot of blocking going on. I'm fanning out into the flat.
But he was asking about defensive coordinator. Keith Byers. Do you have anybody in mind for a defensive coordinator, do you feel like Vrabel's got it covered?
The name that I like, and I brought him up a million times, I don't think hiring should be all that confusing. Find a defense that you like, find an offense that you like, a scheme, and draw from that. I really like find a guy from McVay's tree. I like how Denver plays defense. Jim Leonard, you might remember playing for those Jets teams with Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
That went to back-to-back AFC title games. I think he was on both those teams.
I think so.
So I liked him as a player, or at least respected him as a player. He's the Broncos defensive backs coach. Yeah, they have Patrick Surtain there. You have Christian Gonzalez. I would go to somebody like that. But the name that caught my eye, and it feels more realistic and not just spitballing names from defenses I like, is it Terrell Jennings? Is that his name?
Yes. Yeah, Terrell Jennings. I believe it is.
Yeah. Or is that the running back they had late in the year this year?
He was a running back that they had.
Maybe they said Terrell Williams, maybe?
The short list of names that Reese tweeted out earlier today, I'm like, this guy makes too much sense. Terrell Williams, not Terrell Davis, not Terrell Jennings, not Terrell Owens.
Got it.
Terrell Davis, he was with Vrabel all five of the years when he was in Tennessee. He was with the Lions last year. My guess is he'd be a heavy favorite for D coordinator now that Shane Bowen isn't getting released from the Giants.
Think Robert Saleh's got any chance, or is he just going to go to the Niners?
I think he's going to the Niners, but he would be a great hire.
That's what I like. I mean, at least give him an interview or something. I think he's doing head coaching interviews, too, but you never know where he's going. I don't think he's going to be a head coach.
You should. I mean, the Bengals' defense last year was atrocious, but you should talk to Anarumo. You should talk to Robert Saleh. You should talk to who are some of the other defensive coaches who have lost their jobs. You brought up Eberflus before. I would talk to Eberflus.
I'll bring the Flus.
I mean, I would interview him. Why not?
I'd give him a sniff.
The guy was a good coordinator, bad head coach. So I would look at guys like that, but my guess is it's Terrell Williams, who was with Vrabel in Tennessee. The Lions have had a great run defense this year. He was their defensive line coach. That's probably the guy. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls. A bunch you want to jump in on Brady and Mahomes. We'll get to you. Plus, it's the divisional round this weekend, including the Chiefs trying to three-peat. We'll get to four questions, a four-pack of questions, in our Friday four-pack for the divisional round right after Trending with Billy Laney. Jones and Keith, it's a Friday before the divisional round. We're talking Brady and Mahomes, Chiefs and Patriots. Are you ready for it? Chiefs starting their three-peat. You got a weekend off last weekend, but they're going to be in your face. They're heavily favored against the Texans. So get ready for a team that probably already is in the AFC title game and two wins away from three-peating is how it kind of feels.
Yep.
So we'll get to your thoughts on it. 617-779-7937. It's time for the Friday four-pack for the divisional round this weekend. What's our first question, Billy?
All right. How many of the coaches for teams this weekend would you take over Mike Vrabel?
I think I went with six. You tell me how you feel about this.
Oh, Keith. Wow. So I like Vrabel way more than you then. Kay. Or maybe I like some of these guys less.
Reed,
unanimous.
McVay.
Unanimous.
Harbaugh.
Yeah, that's kind of where I stopped.
You didn't really?
I went three. Because I was just thinking, and I know we had a couple of bad years, but if Mike Vrabel himself and his personality happened to be playing this weekend and we did the same exercise, I would have him over D'Amico Ryans. I would have him over Nick Sirianni. I would have him over Sean McDermott. And I would have him over Dan Quinn.
So you only have three ahead
of Vrabel. I only have three.
Okay, again, Reed.
Reed, McVay, John Harbaugh.
You wouldn't take McDermott.
No.
I would.
I don't like McDermott.
I don't love McDermott, but I don't love Vrabel.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair.
You wouldn't take Campbell.
No. So Campbell's going to be, and maybe it's not fair to Campbell because he has turned that thing around and they have won.
With him watching him without Ben Johnson will be interesting.
Fascinating. Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. I'm fascinated.
Good point about Glenn, too. Without his coordinators, what will Campbell look like? Completely fair.
He's wildly entertaining. It's working right now. I think if I had to choose between the two, I would still take Vrabel.
I'd take D'Amico Ryans.
If he was available, you would take him over
D'Amico
Vrabel?
Ryans won a playoff game in back-to-back. He's won as many playoff games as Vrabel.
Yeah.
Vrabel went to an AFC title game, and D'Amico Ryans done it with a first and second year quarterback.
I might be overrating him. I like Vrabel.
But so neither of us are taking him, and you're only taking three coaches ahead of him. I'm taking six.
Mm-hmm. So who are the two you're for sure not?
Sirianni and Quinn, they've both been to a Super Bowl. Like, even both of them have, I think, a good case to you'd take them over Vrabel.
It is tough.
They've both been to Super Bowls.
It's like you should get credit for going to a Super Bowl, but when you have a 25-point lead in said Super Bowl and lose, it does take it away a little bit.
I agree, but what you're going to hear, again, is, Vrabel's been to an AFC title game. Yeah?
Well, no, those guys have been to Super Bowl. No, these guys are all playing in the divisional round.
That's like the biggest justification you hear from, you went to an AFC title game. Right. Those guys went to Super Bowls, and I think they're kind of bums.
It's a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
It's the cut of his jib that I like about
Mike
Vrabel.
Like about him?
I do like Vrabel.
I think you got to base it on that because he's a little over 500 as a coach, and he's only won playoff games in 1 year or 6 years as a head coach. And he won two in the same season and went to the AFC title game.
No, it's true. I mean, he's been in the playoffs he's had four winning records in six seasons.
So it's more je ne sais quoi than production.
Yeah, but I don't really highly value a lot of coaches in the league. Because I was looking at this list, you're like, all right, this is the elite eight of the NFL. So, there might be a couple good coaches that aren't playing this weekend and whatever, just like there are a few good quarterbacks that aren't playing this weekend. I thought I would like the group more than I did when I was taking a look at it. I was like, Reed, McVay, Harbaugh seemed like no-brainers. And then after that, because it was funny, when Vrabel first got hired, people were saying, he's already the best coach in the division. And that gets down to whether you like McDermott more or not. You could make a case, I think, for both. McDaniel did make the playoffs 2 years in a row when he got there. Missed it this year. And then the Jets don't even have a guy. But yeah, I mean, he's very debatable in, you know, where he ranks.
Do you think Harbaugh? I feel like we've covered this already, so maybe I know the answer. You don't think Harbaugh's in any trouble if they lose, right?
No.
Okay. I don't either.
No.
But I think Sirianni could be. I think McDermott could be. It's a nice segue into. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say Sirianni. I don't even know about McDermott, only because Ravens Bills should be just like a like. Depending on how it goes,
that's always
you sort of tip your cap.
That's always
like,
the caveat I would put on it. Yeah, maybe Lamar lays the smack down. They win 50-10. Yeah, McDermott's going to be on the hot seat. Maybe McDermott has a massive, massive poor coaching decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what that is. They go for it on a fourth down. He kicks a field goal instead of going for it. Like, I don't know exactly what that is. But barring something like that, I do think McDermott's safer than Sirianni. But we'll segue into our next question, which I think dovetails nicely with this. What is it, Billy?
Which player this weekend would be hurt most by a loss?
So I think you have to choose between Allen and Lamar.
Yeah, it's got to be in that game. Those two guys are going to be 1-2 in the MVP. Neither have made a Super Bowl, and now you're talking about missing out on the conference championship. You're going to think it's backwards because I have Lamar as the MVP, but I think the answer to this question is Josh Allen, only because I think there's more. Well, he's playing at home.
No, I'm laughing because I'm also going backwards with it.
So feel like everybody keeps saying it's the Bills' year, it's the Bills' year, it's the Bills' year, and it's never been the Bills' year. They're saying that even more so than they're saying it's the Ravens' year, right? Like, if you separate Allen and Lamar a little bit and talk about the expectations for their teams, the Bills have the better record. Will he finally be able to put it all together and finally make that Super Bowl appearance? And if he loses, like, man, a divisional round loss? Like, you don't even get to face Patrick Mahomes again? Like, I think it'll sting Allen more.
So I'm arguing for Lamar.
Okay, fair enough.
But here's why. I think if Lamar wins, the whole playoff struggle thing for him kind of goes away.
Yep.
I think it kind of goes, if he beats Josh Allen head-to-head and he goes into Buffalo and wins on the road,
yeah.
I mean, look, he could still lose to Mahomes in the AFC title game. Like he did a year ago.
Because he's, what, 3-4 now in playoffs?
But
so
saying,
Lamar does have wins, but he hasn't been great.
And he has wins in, did he have two last year or one? No, one.
No,
right?
One.
He beat Stroud last year. Yeah. And he had one, I think, the year before. Yeah. So,
2020. So there's 2 years where they weren't even in the playoffs.
Okay, so like to me, I think if Lamar wins this weekend, the whole he can't win in the playoffs thing kind of goes away. He's back to 500. He'd be in the AFC title game. He'd be back-to-back AFC title games. I think that goes away. If he loses, it's right back in your face. So that's why I think he has more at stake, personally, which is funny. We're arguing the opposite for MVP, but arguing for the guy with more at stake in this game. If it's not those two, who's next up? Because I do have an answer. I don't know about you.
No, you go first.
Goff. Goff would go from.
True, because of where he's at.
NFC title game, divisional round. And if they come up short again, and I say again, I mean, they were in the NFC title game last year. I think people start to look at Goff and go, he's good, but is he a guy who can win big games? I think the spotlight will shift to Goff.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a quarterback, right? It always is, because Jalen Hurts is a similar one where it's an up-and-down season for Hurts. Was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and now you're like, oh, you're really going in the wrong direction. And there's already talk about, like, what's going on there. I mean, Mahomes, we got to put to the side, because, like, just because it'd be such an upset, though, you'd be like, wait, what the hell?
Well, like, it would just be, like, he would miss out on the opportunity to three-peat.
Yeah.
But is anybody going to look at it and go, Mahomes' career is in question or anything? Like, of course not.
No, by no shot, but it would be, you know, how many times was Brady a 8-9 point favorite in a playoff game and lose?
I can, 2010 to the Jets. Short of that?
Right. The AFC title game, right? No.
That was the division round.
Oh, yeah, touche.
I meant specifically just for that round.
So we had that. Yeah. I mean, obviously the Giants Super Bowls,
but
I'm talking about divisional round. Oh, yeah, you're right. So he did, I guess, have that moment. But yeah, it'd be one of those quarterbacks.
Okay. What's our next question, Billy?
Which team playing tomorrow is more likely to pull off the upset, the Texans or the Commanders?
So those are the two big spreads on the board this weekend. It's the two bye teams at home in their first games. The two games on Sunday are a little bit closer. One really close. One actually is kind of growing. But Kansas City by 8, Detroit by 9.5.
Yeah, that opened at 7.5. That's the one that's growing, right?
The Detroit one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's jumped up. That's become the biggest spread of the board.
So I
still think Texans would – or no. Texans to me would be the bigger upset. So to answer the question, Commanders actually have a better chance.
I would answer it the same way. This is not a prediction. I don't think I'm taking either team to cover. Never mind win straight up. But now I got to pick who's more likely. The Commanders. Jaden Daniels has pulled out a bunch of these games.
Yeah.
The Lions are still the Lions until they prove differently. So I would go Commanders, but if I'm being honest, I don't feel good about either one of those.
Well, it's funny because the Commanders and the Texans both had kind of a similar time this year where we were both calling them out. Remember during Tier Tuesday, we're looking at these teams.
Well, you hated the Texans.
I've always
all year.
Hated the Texans you all year, them, and yeah. then here they are in the divisional round. So I guess shame on me. But the Commanders have at least played really well. The Commanders just pulled off an upset in their own right. You know, and it was the Texans. Were they dogs too? Actually,
Texans were definitely.
All right,
dogs,
so they both just pulled off upsets. But yeah, I would give the Commanders a better shot at it.
Okay, what's our last question, Billy?
Which non-quarterback playing this weekend would you most want on the Patriots?
To me, it's the guy we brought up earlier in the week. It's A.J. Brown. Give me A.J. Brown.
Great one.
Because I not only the connection with Mike Vrabel, it is such an overwhelming team need. I think he still has a ton left in the tank. He's super productive. I think he's 27 years old. So to me, it would be A.J. Brown. I think he might be... And you could argue different guys, and depending on health and everything, I think he's the best wide receiver still playing.
Okay, so I would argue with that.
Okay.
I would argue for St. Brown.
Okay.
So A.J. Brown, I think, is probably the most realistic playing this weekend that could be on the Patriots. Maybe Cooper Kupp, who feels like he's lost a step. But like,
yeah, I love Cooper Kupp. I don't know if it's Kupp. I mean, Nakua's really good, but those two guys are a little bit lower.
But I was just arguing the most realistic guys that could change teams. A.J. Brown and Kupp. I would not argue for Kupp. I was kind of choosing between St. Brown and Nakua. A.J. Brown's great. I love Nico Collins. I'm definitely taking a receiver off one of these teams.
Yeah.
My answer, though, would be McLaurin maybe is another name we could bring up. I actually didn't think about him until right this second.
I was wondering if you'd go – I know you want like the idea of like a running back, like a big-time running back, because you do have like all the big-time running backs.
Look, I thought about Gibbs. I would want Gibbs more than even Barkley and Derrick Henry. Like, as awesome as those guys are, Gibbs, is about to enter the height of his powers.
Is this actually a weekend to really hype up running backs and the importance of running backs?
The running back weekend.
Well, Saquon, Derrick Henry.
The Texans also went out and got Joe Mixon. That's three teams that went out and signed veteran, like old running backs. Barkley's not that old.
The Lions, a lot of people thought they overdrafted Gibbs. Turns out they didn't. And they even brought in Montgomery. So they go two-headed
monster.
It's
the weekend of the running back.
Kind of is. It snuck up on me.
I mean, I'm a big running back guy. It snuck up on me.
They're all like loaded. It's like they're like all the top running backs are playing this weekend.
Look, I mean, give me some time. I'll talk myself into a running back. By the time the draft rolls around, I'll talk myself into a running back for sure.
That's not a bad
I'll be taking Ashton Jeinte at four.
Yeah, sure.
But so my answer is Amon-Ra St. Brown. I said the other day, that's the kind of receiver I want for Drake May. A guy who can play inside, outside, line up everywhere, zone, man-to-man. He's uncoverable. And so that, to me, is the guy. I don't think A.J. Brown's easy to cover, but I think that style of receiver is easier to take away, personally. And so Amon-Ra St. Brown would be the guy I would pick. 617-779-7937. You can weigh in on any of our four-pack questions for the divisional round. How many coaches have you taken before Vrabel? Keith and I agree on three of them. I would take six before Mike Vrabel. Which player will be hurt most by a loss? Keith argues for Allen. I argue for Lamar Jackson. Which team tomorrow is more likely to pull off the upset, the Texans or Commanders? We both go Washington. And which non-quarterback playing this weekend would you want on the Patriots? A.J. Brown, which is very realistic for Keith. I went Amon-Ra St. Brown, who you won't be getting, but that's the style of player I'd like. You can jump in on this and more of your phone calls. Brady and Mahomes still hanging out there. We'll get to it next. Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Our coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. I want to get to a question Brian just asked me in the hallway about the Chiefs and their title defense going for a three-peat. Well, let's knock out some phone calls. Bunch of you waiting patiently on Brady, Mahomes. Chiefs are looking to three-peat. It's going to be right in your face this weekend. You could hide from it last year, week. You could mostly hide from it all year long. You were starting to feel the heat a little bit, I think, as Patriots fans, when the Chiefs were undefeated to start the year until that Buffalo game. What did they start? 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, something like that. You were starting to feel it. But now it's going to be right back there. They win this weekend. They're two wins away from three-peating.
Although it's the game that I think you're most likely to miss. The 4:30 Saturday game as opposed to the 8 o'clock Saturday game or the 3 and the 6:30 Sunday. Just the way people live their lives. So you think that's the one you're most likely to actually miss?
When I say it's in your face.
No, I know what you mean by that.
But it's a good point. If there's a game you're going to skip this weekend, it's probably that because you know they're going to win.
You know they're going to win, and like the timing of it, you're like, all right, I can get other things done on Saturday. Watch the night game, and then watch the two games on Sunday.
It's the cute Texans window.
Yeah. Oh, they're up 17-0. Great, let's go do something else.
No, I mean, you're right about that. It's probably the game I personally will watch the least. Fair point.
Yep.
Gene is in St. Louis. Go ahead, Gene.
Hey guys, just on the Brady Mahomes thing, if Mahomes gets six or seven to match Brady, I think you still got to look at Brady's longevity, 20 plus years. I saw a stat where you split his career in half. They basically had two full Hall of Fame careers. And then when he finally did leave, he goes to Tampa, first year, new guys, you know, Gronkowski, but then another Super Bowl his first year there. So I think if Mahomes gets the six, you're still going to look at all that.
Okay, Keith, you know what that is? That is that's an example of a scared Patriots fan.
I'd do you one better. He has three Hall of Fame careers. Yeah. I'll go on that guy's side of the street. It's not two Hall of Fame careers. It's three. But also, in this hypothetical...
You're saying in the middle when he didn't win?
Yeah, because it was like crazy. Like, he went to Super
MVPs
Bowls.
And...
Like, if some other guy had that same career with MVPs and Super Bowl appearances, I bet that guy gets in.
They might get in. I would disagree with it, but that player might get in. Fair.
Close. Yeah. And depending on when you start and stop the years, like, yeah, you might be able to figure it out. But either way, that is... the hypothetical with Mahomes is we don't know how long he played, because he was talking about, like, give credit to Brady for playing until he's 40. We don't know how long Mahomes is going to play for.
Yeah.
And I mean, if he retires tomorrow, then so be it.
You brought this up earlier. Now, Andy Reid might retire if they three-peat. And then could Mahomes win a couple more with, like, Spagnuolo? Like, that would be a check mark in his favor, especially if he stayed in Kansas City to do it.
Yep.
Actually, I take that back. I give Brady more credit for not just winning without Belichick, but winning elsewhere without the whole different cast of players and everything else. So I strike that from the record. No, that's what I would consider a scared Patriots fan. When I say, are you afraid of the Chiefs? That's the person I'm thinking of. Yeah. Even if Mahomes wins seven, it's still Brady. Like, they're already worried about Mahomes winning seven.
Yeah.
That's the exact fan I'm talking about. By the way, did we get an update from the Red Sox?
Yes, we did.
Huh.
Yeah, you want to take a look at this?
Yeah, it sounds like one day after my plan, we're checking boxes.
This is good. This is part of your plan. So it looks like you guys are in lockstep. Maybe the other things will come true as well. But the Red Sox just announced that today the team has signed outfielder Jarren Duran to a one-year contract for the 2025 season with a club option for 2026. They add in their post, Boston has no remaining players eligible for salary arbitration. So hopefully
there's an option for 2026. Does that just mean he's still under contract, right? That doesn't, they added an option here. What does that
I mean? Don't understand that. I'm just reading the tweet.
Yep.
The Red Sox, that's what they said. Cause I thought he was arbitration eligible for a while.
That's what I'm saying. So
maybe they got rid of that year too.
Well,
I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering. That would be interesting.
No sign of money. Cause if you remember, we talked about it last week, he wanted $4 million and they were like, no, we're going to give you $3.5 million. So maybe they came to some sort of maybe it's 3.75. I have no idea what the deal is.
Well, no, it's 2 years of arbitration.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so I don't understand the way
it says
it's
option
written.
Year. I don't know quite what that means either. Maybe there'll be further reporting on it.
This will come out maybe later in the show. But
if you had to guess, do you think they just split the difference 3.75 like you said, or did they cave under some of the public pressure of like, could you just give the guy the extra $500,000?
I mean, I hope it's that.
But I bet it's not.
I was going to say, I bet it's... I mean, I'm sorry. I hope it's not, but I wouldn't put money on it.
Yeah, me neither. Well, good. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Good. And you know, hopefully Duran...
One less thing.
Hopefully Duran got a little money out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's not like he was ever going to play elsewhere. I don't think any of us were fearful of that. I guess they could trade him.
No, but it's like, what's the harm?
But why... But nickel and diming Jarren Duran.
Oh,
best,
here we go.
Your best player a year ago, over $500,000 is pathetic.
You ready?
I don't think so, actually. What is
Chris
it?
Cotillo.
Uh-huh.
According to a source, Jarren Duran gets $3.75 million.
So they split the difference.
With an $8 million team option for 2026. Says there are a lot of escalators on that option.
Okay. That sounds like a bad deal for Duran. I was about to say they're screwing him, but...
Well, if he has another year like this year, he could probably ask for even more than
that. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I think he maybe just wants that kind of... guaranteed. And I don't know what the escalators mean. Like, is it escalators up to eight or is it escalators way beyond
eight? I bet beyond eight.
All right,
I mean, read how Cotillo wrote it again.
He just wrote, source, Jarren Duran gets $3.75 million with an $8 million team option for 2026. There are lots of escalators on that
to
option.
To me, it means he can make, so, the way that's written, he can make more than eight.
All right, good.
With escalators.
All right, good then.
Yeah.
3.75. Like, that's so ridiculous.
If you're going to, here's the thing.
They give these bums full contracts to rehab for a year. They can't give their best player $500,000.
If they offer him 3.5 and 8 for next year, they don't believe in Duran, is what that contract tells me. They don't believe in him repeating it.
Maybe they want to see it again because they're not sure.
So I wouldn't take that if I were him. I would have gone to arbitration and said, I probably will get the 4. He was projected to get 4.95, something like that.
Although I'm glad they didn't go to arbitration.
To get it.
I think it was Lou Maloney pointed it out.
It's a good point.
Arbitration can rub people the wrong way. We've seen it firsthand with Corbin Burns, Jeremy Swayman, and others.
And he's the kind of player it might rub the wrong way.
I don't know if that would have gone great.
That's completely fair. I'm just saying, in a vacuum.
Yeah, he and his agent should have dug
over
in
a
more.
$500,000? Yeah, I'll roll the dice. I'll roll the dice and go to arbitration and give me the extra $500,000 that I'm probably going to win. and then I'm not taking your option year the next year. I don't know that that's the greatest business, but maybe it gives them peace of mind.
Yep.
And again, taking a step back, I don't think the Red Sox, based on those numbers, 3-5 mm-hmm. and 8, I don't think they fully believe in him, which maybe is fair. Is this the first monster year he's had? He's a later developing prospect. There have been, you know, well, a very prominent on-field incident with him, embarrassing for the organization. He's had his own struggles off the field, thought about walking away from the sport.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you're not going to give him more money than
all right,
that,
I got more.
I don't think they fully believe. Oh, keep going.
Alex
keep going.
Speer on the escalators.
Yeah.
Option salary escalators, $1 million for top 20 MVP.
Okay.
So that would be $9 million option salary. $2 million if he's in the top 10.
Okay.
$3 million if he's in the top 5.
Where did he finish last year?
8th, I think.
Okay, so he would have gotten...
He was definitely top 10.
If he replicates his year from a year ago, it's another $2 million. Yep.
Yeah, so then there would be $10 million.
Yep.
If he wins the MVP, he gets 4. If he's not... So they weren't kidding when there's a lot of escalators.
Okay, yeah, keep going.
If not in top 20 MVP, but is named second team All-MLB...
Oh, boy.
$500K.
Nice!
So the max club salary, it looks like, is... $12 million. So he's guaranteed $8 million.
If he wins MVP, he gets 12.
If he's the best player in baseball, he gets 12.
Okay, and look, I think those are fair escalators. It's all tied to MVPs or MVP votes. That's all fair. I would gamble on myself if I were him.
Because
if he wins the MVP, he's gonna make a lot. He's gonna make a lot more in arbitration the following year than that.
If traded, the club option is eliminated, and $100,000 buyout converts to an assignment bonus payable by assignee club. There are also $50K bonuses for 450, 500, and 550 plate appearances. So he can make a few extra bucks, plate appearance wise. But my guess is, I think he's a minimum top 20 MVP guy. So maybe he makes $9 million next year.
Okay, yeah. But good. So they don't go to arbitration. They don't air out his dirty laundry in arbitration and get inside his head. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they fully believe in him based on those numbers, but they're going to make him replicate it. And if he goes out and backs it up with MVP votes, he'll make more money. I don't think it's a big deal, but that would be my takeaway. Gary is in the car on Brady and Mahomes. Hello, Gary.
Hey, what's going on? Keith, good to talk to you finally, man. You're slaying it.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
Thank you.
What's up, Jones?
Hello, Gary.
So, hey, well, we've disagreed on several things before. So,
good.
Here's my thought is when I look at football, when I was kind of a kid in the 80s, when there was early on 3-4 Super Bowls won by teams, they looked at the conference championships. And to me, I'm a Giants fan. I would say that the measuring stick secondly after Super Bowls needs to be the conference championships, and Brady's been the 10, and I think that's very impressive.
Okay.
You know what, Gary, I'll give you credit for this.
How many has Mahomes been to? Because Mahomes is way ahead of that pace.
He's been to, was it 6 consecutive?
Yeah, right. He's never not been. If Mahomes wins this week, it'll be 7. You're right.
Because he lost.
I wouldn't use that metric.
He lost to Brady and Burrow, and then he's gone every other time, right?
Yeah.
So he's 6-for-6.
7!
It's honestly...
Keep that handy on Monday.
I'll give him credit. Nobody brings that up. Conference championships. Like, why don't you get more love for being in a conference championship? You're right. You don't, because everybody talks about just Super Bowls. That's, I guess, kind of fair. But that was always one of my things that bothered me going back 15 years ago when people were like, Joe Montana's still better than
Brady. Yeah, Montana was like 3 straight 1-and-done.
They're like, Montana's never lost a Super Bowl. I'm like, how many playoff games did he lose? Like, how many times did he not make the Super Bowl? And, like, there are still people that hold that perfect record up in the air, like that is the goal. Like, that's not the goal. It's as many as you can get, not having the perfect record there.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about when you get there, you play your best in the biggest games. I mean, there's something to be said about that, but right.
Say.
But he stubbed his toe earlier. You know, Montana's record in the divisional round, for instance, not as good. But yeah, Mahomes is 6-for-6, so that's a scary metric if that's what you want to use.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You can jump in there. We'll get back into, all of this on Brady Mahomes. I want to get further into Lamar Jackson and what's at stake for him. And an interesting take I heard last night from Michael Holly that I want to circle back to. That's next.